I thought we all knew this song, but maybe not. So the young people do know it, so they're going to have to help. How many of you know this chorus? Let's stand, shall we?
Rise and sing each
page number 375. I'll fly away. Sometimes I think when you're in the presence of the Lord like this, it wouldn't be very hard to fly away. I'll fly away.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away.
for that fine singing this evening. Anybody with a testimony or a request? I know we have a request, but Luke, you have a testimony. Okay, stand up and let everybody hear you.
Okay. As you know, that I was not going to go to camp before. I was going to go to Sunshine. And I'm glad that I didn't go to Sunshine because I got to reach people that are at camp. And I also got to get to know new friends. And I asked also to Jesus for more desire and love to give to people that I don't know yet, but I will know, to testify to them and show them how much God's done in my life. And I've been like full of joy all day and everything, and I'm happy about that, because usually I'm kind of boring. And I just thank God that He did all these wonderful things for us, and that we can go around and we can tell people how wonderful He is.
Amen.
Debbie?
I went to camp, and a lot of wonderful things happened at camp. And the very first night, the sermon was about breaking ropes and, things that ties down our life. And I got a lot of ropes broken. And even some that I didn't even know existed, just giving my life up to Jesus, He broke some. And I hadn't realized it until I got home. Some of the changes that are about to take place in my life. And right away, got thrown the test right away. The day after I got home from camp, I got a call from my best friend, who is a Christian but is undeserving of that name. She doesn't walk with Jesus, and she's become very apathetic towards Him, and it breaks my heart. But as she was telling me of all the events that come by the week when I was gone, her and two other very best friends, things that happened to them that broke my heart, and we always promised each other that wouldn't happen, and I was the only one left, I guess. But in my eyes, I'm happy that I didn't. I wasn't there, and I didn't do that. And also, I believe that Jesus prepared my heart for that, because my heart was very prepared when I learned that. But in my eyes, my friends were choosing a different road, and Jesus had prepared me for that break. He prepared me for being separated from those friends because they weren't the best for me, even though they were Christians, I guess. And I guess so that I'm so happy and so thankful that Jesus goes ahead of me and Jesus prepares things for me. And I'm happy that I did the right thing in that, because it was like a slap in the face to me. And, they always say, turn the other cheek, and that's exactly what I had to do. Normally, I would get angry and depressed and sad, but I had this picture of Jesus pushing me forward to do my business with my friends, to do what I had to do, but He was right behind me the whole time, with open arms waiting for the time when I was done doing what I had to do with my friends. And then when all was said and done, normally I would not have done this, but I turned my back around and I ran to Jesus, and that's where I rested. So thankful that He was there for me, and that He's made these changes in my life, because it made me happy that I did that. And also, I've been reading my Bible, and now I feel like a little kid making a sermon if I pray. I read my Bible. It's only been like a few days since camp, and everything is so profound to me. And I even listen to my Christian CDs, and every word just seems to pop right back out, and I'm not boring anymore. Everything is so joyful for me, and I'm just learning things every day. And I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done in my life. And even now, I look in the mirror, and I don't feel disgusted with myself. I feel the joy of the Lord. I feel like smiling for what Jesus has done in my life.
Amen. Matt, I think you had your hand up first.
Yeah, I went to camp, and there was a certain night that we all,
broke our ropes and everything, and we all got together, and the guys got, and the girls got together, and the girls got, and we all got a chance to break some problems off of our life that we had. And I broke off quite a few problems in my life. I'm just so glad I got to go to camp and get free from all those problems. And also, when you, the worship there was awesome and everything, you grew much closer to God, and all in all, it was a really good time. So.
Aaron?
Well, when I went to camp, I didn't like it that much right away, but after the first night when we all got in our cabins and we expressed all the stuff that happened in our lives, and right after that we were all closer together despite the wars that we have with the cabin.
About somebody that got the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You want to share? Carl?
I was wondering, it was an incredible experience, and worship was incredible, and thankful to the youth group who prayed with me that night. And it was just incredible. Great. It was a great time. I loved it.
Mai?
This year I had the honor of being able to be on a worship team, and I wasn't going to be in the first place. I didn't know until about 2 weeks before if I was positively going to be on the worship team, and that was just a miracle in itself. And I got up there, and it was interesting. I don't know how I did this, but I did a lot of ministry this year. The Lord just used me to minister to other people too. The worship leader, the pastor that was leading worship, and the worship team itself, and it's funny because I watched myself, and the Lord just filled me up with this overwhelming sense of joy and peace and love for everybody. That, you know, there are people, like the drummer was upset with one of the singers, and they'd walk back by each other, they'd be nice, but they'd kind of like throw crossfires, and I just kind of snuck up to them and be like, oh, kiss and make up. And I just I didn't want to see any fighting in our ministry and things like that. And, just how, you know, through my prayers, and I asked these guys to pray too, our worship team became one unit, and I was just so thankful that the Lord actually came to do that, and I was very surprised. And Monday night, we talked about that verse in Proverbs where it says, just as a dog returns to its father, so does a wolf to its worship. And then Tuesday night, we talked about generational things. And so that was the day when we all got together and prayed in our cabins for each one of us and prayed for our families and our grandparents and generational things that maybe we didn't know we had, our own personal problems that we had. And the Lord just moved that night. And then the next night, it was just, I can't explain it. It gives more and more of what the Lord just gave, more and more and more. And it was, my dream was to be on the worship team this year, and I didn't know if God would bring that to pass or not. And being able to be up here singing, it's just been a miracle to my life, because I love singing up here, and I love just being chosen by the Lord to help lead you guys into the presence. presence of the Lord, just kind of being the usher, opening the door and saying, come on in, it's fun, you know. And so I'm so privileged to be able to do that. And I'm just so thankful for every one of our youth kids. And I'm really excited about ministering to the other kids in our youth group that maybe don't know Christ as much. And just challenging these guys and having them challenge me back, which is just awesome. I lost my voice from singing, so.
That's a good way to lose your voice, though. How about a request? Matt, do you have, I know you want to light the fire. Did you find the overhead? Can you find the overhead for us? We'll take another one while we're waiting for that. Somebody else have a request? Luke?
497.
497? More abundantly, 497.
Are you trusting Jesus all along the way? Does he grow more precious to your hurting shame? Are you his disciple?
On this side? George and then Kelly. In Christ alone? Okay. We'll find that one. Kelly?
Our God reigns.
Okay.
God.
Situations seem hopeless. Lay those burdens and those hopeless feelings at the feet of the cross tonight. And let the Lord flood your soul with hope.
Amen.
Just give all your burdens over to Him tonight as we sing it again. Lord, I need your strength. Give me your strength. Give me hope. Strengthen my faith. Let's sing it. Meditate on the Lord Himself as Gail plays this song through. Think about the Lord, His awesomeness. message tonight is planned to be shorter than normal. I knew we'd have quite a few testimonies, but I do have something I'd like to share with you tonight. It's something that could be a caution, but also something that could spur us and motivate us at the same time. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 5 and the text taken from verse 11. But Naaman was wroth, angry, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought. Behold, I thought." The title of the message tonight, it was just a thought. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word this evening. I pray, Lord, that you would help us sometimes to rethink our thought life, that we would realize tonight the power of just our thoughts. Lord, that we would turn our, not only our hearts, but our thoughts toward you, that we would have the mind of Christ in all things. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have all said it so many times, it was just a thought. Only eternity will reveal how many circumstances have been injected into our lives that began with just a thought. The ad in the Trenton, New Jersey newspaper says, "Wanted, good home for cats. I see them all the time, but these aren't just any cats. These are 400-pound tigers, meat eaters." A lady in Trenton apparently raises these gorgeous animals in a Jackson Township shelter. Now the lawmakers say she has to get rid of them. Easier said than done, I'd say. Craig Burstrup, executive director of a National Association for Animals, says, "Tigers are just very hard animals to find a home for. They scare you to death. They're big, and this is the line I just love. If they get a chance, they'll eat you." Resources at accredited animal preserves are hitting the bottom of the barrel as there appears to be an increasing number of tigers available. Big cats that were once pets. Tigers present particular concerns for managers of people trying to manage them, especially the big cats, because they breed so easily in captivity. An interesting development that there is no clear number of just how many tigers there are in the United States, since many owners fail to keep records and routinely sell the cubs to roadside zoos. So the next time you're asleep at night and you're awakened by a scratching cat outside your window at night, you might want to grab something that's more impressive than a broom. Well, you know, these little tigers and things are cute when they're young, aren't they? You just love baby animals. They're so cute. But sometimes they aren't so cute when they're big. There are other things that aren't so cute when they're big, like habits, bad associations, attitudes. They grow up and they give you all kinds of grief and trouble. Some children's habits are cute, and we laugh at them while they're young, but they have those habits when they get older, and they are not cute anymore. But you know where all of those habits and attitudes had their beginnings? They had their beginnings in our thought life. At one time, they were just a thought. Before they became a habit, it was something that we had just thought about. It was just a thought. A kid with a chip on his shoulder in school may have an entire log on his shoulder when he's older. A smoking habit that began in your young days may turn out to be a shot lung years down the road. I talk with people all the time. You know, I just had this one cigarette when I was young, but I never was able to get over it. And it became addiction with me, and today I'm trying to get rid of it, but I just can't seem to break that habit. You have to be careful with those critters. As Craig said, if they get a chance, they'll eat you. Our thought life is a powerful force. Thoughts could be defined as the power of judging or reason or even imagination. It's a small wonder that the scriptures say that we are to bring into captivity every thought and make it obedient unto Christ. Bring into captivity every thought and make it obedient to Christ, because there could be a thought that sneaks in, a thought that could give us trouble years down the road. It was just a thought. Naaman was the leader of the Syrian armies. He was stricken by leprosy. And as you know, there was no cure for leprosy. These lepers, once they contacted leprosy, eventually they had to move away from all family and friends and associations. Even in the days of Jesus, they would go down the street if they were in some public place, and they would have to yell, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," wherever they went. There was no cure for leprosy. Once a leper, always a leper. Naaman found himself in that. Here he is, the captain of the Syrian army, but he had contacted this deadly disease, this horrifying disease of leprosy. But he heard about a man. He heard about a man of God who just might be able to help him. And so in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, we have the story. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Elisha was the man of God that he heard about. Elisha sent a messenger to Naaman as Naaman was on the way to see the prophet. And Elisha's messenger said to Naaman, "Go and wash in Jordan, in the Jordan River, 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." See, he was expecting some big to-do over him. He was expecting some show to be made over him. And he said simply, "Go quietly and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman thought, that's not what I figured would happen. And so Naaman turned his back on that advice and started to go home. But fortunately, there was somebody there, there was an aide of his that was able to talk some sense into him. And said, "Naaman, if Elisha had asked you to do some hard thing, some difficult thing, some mighty feat in battle perhaps, you would have done it. And all he asks you to do is to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Hey, what do you have to lose? You might as well try it." And fortunately for Naaman, he reconsidered his position. But Naaman thought wrong. He thought wrong. And it nearly cost him his life. There are people who have wrong thoughts all the time. And you know, it nearly costs their life. Sometimes it does cost their lives. Some people, "I have this thought that I will reject Christ now, but I'll receive him sometime later." And they never do. The thought that they had, they never recovered from. And it cost them their life. It cost them their spiritual life. It cost them eternity being separated from God. But Naaman returned to the Jordan River, and he dipped there 7 times, as the prophet had said. And Elisha's word was true, and Naaman was healed of his leprosy. He was obedient to God and was healed. But I must tell you this evening that wrong thinking is deadly. The Bible gives a great warning for us in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Think about that tonight. What a person thinks, he is. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You know, thoughts repeatedly running over the same mental track groove themselves to permanency. If you think the same thought twice, the impression in your mind becomes more pronounced. If you think the same thought constantly, the impression becomes a rut and increasingly difficult to reroute your thinking. I must warn you, choose your thoughts carefully. Choose your thoughts carefully, because you might form a rut that you will be in for a long, long time. Choose your thoughts. Choose your thoughts carefully. I used to have a dirt bike, and we'd make our trails, and we'd form ruts after a time, and you know how that is, going over the same place over and over again, these ruts are formed. And there were some ruts that we had dug that you could not get out of those ruts until you came to the end of the trail. As hard as you tried, you would try to get out of those ruts, and you'd maybe turn your wheel to the right or the left, but the bike was going to tip. You had to stay in that rut until you were down to the end of the trail. Thoughts are like that. They form ruts. The more we think about it, the deeper that rut becomes. And this could be good, used for good or bad. So choose carefully your thoughts, because you might be in those ruts for a long time. God's plan of salvation is so complete that it covers every aspect of our lives. Yes, even our thoughts. Did you know that? God's plan of salvation covers our thoughts. He wants to save us from an impure thought life. He's a Savior that saves us so completely that He wants to redeem even our thoughts. Look at this verse, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16, an incredible verse when you stop and meditate on it. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Those that have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and has experienced His great salvation and enter into that new covenant relationship with Him, God says, I will put my laws into their hearts, so that they know them, and so that they feel them. And I will also put it into their minds. I will redeem their minds. I will renew their minds. I will write them in their thoughts. I will write them in their minds. You know, as I thought about that, I thought of the Apostle Paul. He was under house arrest there in Rome. And he looked over at that Roman who was guarding him, that Roman soldier. And he saw the helmet of salvation upon his head. The helmet up on his head. And he said, you know, that helmet is just like salvation, because that helmet protects his head. Salvation protects the Christian's head, his mind, his thoughts. How many of you know that there is a battle that's going on between God and Satan? It's a battle for mankind, but you know where the battle takes place? Most of it takes place in the mind. Trying to gain control of the mind. And we as Christians have the helmet of salvation that we can place upon our head. Salvation protects us from the wrong thoughts and the wrong ideas that Satan would love to put into our minds and to corrupt our minds. He would love to do that. We need to put on the helmet of salvation, and salvation is so complete that it guides our thought process. But you ever stop and think about the ungodly? And how corrupt their minds are. You know, it says in Thessalonians, 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, that because they loved not the truth to be saved, God sent them actually a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And look at the perverse thinking that takes place in our world today. Because they're not protected by salvation. They don't have the helmet of salvation. Brother Rich was talking about that in Sunday school this morning, and he asked me afterwards if I thought some of these pastors who promote the homosexual lifestyle and things like that, if they're really saved. You know what? I don't think they are. I don't think they are. They don't have the helmet of salvation upon their head, so they think all kinds of things. We've talked about some of the bizarre things that people think today, like animal law. Oh, at Harvard, they are teaching professors how they can go and find animals that have been abused by their masters, and their animals can sue their masters. I mean, it's just crazy, the things that are going on. And the impure thoughts and the corrupt thoughts and the warped thinking in our world today. God's plan of salvation is so complete, though, that it covers every aspect of our lives, even our thoughts. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. thought patterns that have been troubled, that have troubled you for years, can be changed by the power of God. And since the Bible indicates that you are the sum total of your thought patterns, that means that your lifestyle can be radically changed when Jesus controls your life. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. As a man thinketh, so is he. Count on that. It's sound biblical truth. You just ask a man what he thinks, and you'll know what kind of man he is. As a man thinks, so is he. That's why this message is so important. Because what you think about, you will become. You realize that? The things that are going through your mind, the things that you think about, you will eventually carry out and you will eventually live out. You will become what you think about. If you think about being a godly person, a good Christian, a godly husband, a supportive wife, you will be those things. You will be what you think about. The thought life is that powerful. Cain once had a thought: get even with your brother. And he killed Abel. Samson once had a thought: pursue a harlot, and a nation suffered. Haman once had a thought: hang Mordecai, and he himself was hanged. Judas once had a thought: betray Jesus, and his name is spoken with distaste centuries later. They all had thoughts. They were just thoughts. But as a man thinketh, so is he. Why? Because thoughts are that powerful. Now, when a thought comes to you, you need to take that thought captive. Understand its particular characteristics. We have some guidelines to help us. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. See, the Bible tells us what we can think about. When you have a thought, determine what kind of characteristic is this. Is this a characteristic of godly living, godly thinking? Or is this a characteristic of what Satan would be like? And take that thought captive and set your affection on godly things and heaven and things that are above. And set your affection on things that Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 talks about. And you know what? If you start meditating on Philippians 4:8, you start thinking about things that this passage suggests to you, then you will be a true person. You will be an honest person. You will be just. You will be pure. You will be lovely. You will have good reports spoken of you. You will be virtuous. You'll have moral excellence and pure spirit. You'll be praiseworthy. So begin to think on these kinds of things. Let these thoughts control your thought life. God-centered thoughts bring positive aspects of living. It's just the opposite with Satan. So Satan will send you destructive thoughts. Satan will put those thoughts into your mind. Destructive thoughts. If a thought is from Satan, it will carry with it Satan's characteristics. If a thought comes to you and it's from God, it will lift you up. It will build you. It will strengthen you. It will be constructive. Satan's thoughts will be destructive, will try to tear you down. But God's thoughts will be there to build you up. And then tonight, consider where you pick up most of your thoughts. And the mind is constantly working. The mind is constantly going. Even as I'm preaching to you tonight, you're hearing my words. You're thinking about those words, but you're thinking about other things at the same time. Your mind is racing. Your mind is able to do that. It's able to continually think at a very fast pace. Where do you pick up your thoughts? Friends, television, radio, books that you read, family life patterns, education, many, many other resources. How important then does it become that you be selective about your resources? It is very important that you select the things that you are going to do very carefully. If you constantly feed your mind on sleazy literature, questionable television programming, and the conversations of ungodly men and women, you are hardly going to have a healthy thought life. So choose the resources that are going to give you thoughts very, very carefully. The Bible teaches that as Christians, we can have rest and peace and eternal life. We can bask in the warmth of God's glory. An incredible thought, but we are the sons of God right now. Right now, we are the children of God. Therefore, it's safe to assume that any thoughts that would interrupt that divine flow are from Satan. And so become alert. Become alert to foreign intrusion. Become alert to, hey, that thought is not a right thought. That thought could not possibly have come from God. Become alert to this foreign intrusion into your thought life. Learn to be still, listening to God's call within us. Feed on his written word. Pray for the mind of God in every matter. Consider the promise of our Lord in John 10:10, a warning and a promise. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Jesus Christ. God has given you a precious gift, and that is your free will. You choose to become what you want. You choose to become what you want. You can have a sound mind without worry and tension, without morbid brooding, without self-pity, but only if you yield yourself to God, mind, soul, and body. So bring your thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Choose your ruts of thought very carefully, because you'll be in them for a long time. It's so much more than just a thought. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening. I have talked to many people who have expressed to me, you know, Satan has just bombarded me with evil thoughts. But the Bible teaches that we can have peace in our mind. There can be rest there. And I would encourage such a person to feed on God's word and to pray for the mind of God in every matter. I don't think that Christians need to be defeated in their thought life. And I guess I would go back and ask you, if you're in that situation tonight, honestly, with yourself and with the Lord, you know, I have thoughts. They just bombard me at times, evil thoughts. What are you feeding your mind on? Choose carefully your resources. And some of you might have had wrong thoughts for a long time. You're in a rut. It's hard to get out of that rut. But I want you to know tonight that Jesus Christ can get you out. He can set you free. He can get you out of the rut, and he can put you on solid ground. You have to trust him to do that for you tonight. And every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I wonder, is there anybody here that would be honest enough to say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I do have wrong thoughts from time to time. I have thoughts that come to me. I know that they're not of the Lord. And I want victory over these thoughts. I want victory in my thought life. Is there anybody here like that? Would you raise your hand? Amen. Lots of you. Lots of you. I wasn't sure about this message tonight, but I guess the Holy Spirit knows. There are those of you that need it. I would like to encourage you to memorize some scripture. And the verse that I would say that you could start out with would be Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And as you memorize that, personalize it. This is the covenant that God has made with me. He puts his laws into my heart, and in my mind, he writes them. And you begin to meditate on that. And I believe the Lord will transform your thought life. And you'll find victory. You'll find victory in those thoughts. The other thing that you can do is watch. Watch the things that cause you to pick up your thoughts. Where are you getting them from? Where are you getting them from? Is it the television? Well, go on a TV fast. And see if that doesn't improve your thought life. Naaman said, it was just a thought. It was just a thought. And it almost cost him his life. Don't make the same mistake. It was just a thought. Begin to think about what God can do through you with a pure thought life. Begin to think about those things. And some of the greatest acts that ever were done for God began with just a thought. A man had a thought one day. I think I'll hand this tract out. John Bunyan picked it up, became a great preacher of the gospel. It was just a thought that he had, but a thought that was placed there by the Lord, and it had incredible results. One of the greatest classics that ever come down in Christian literature, Pilgrim's Progress, was written as a result of a man having a thought to hand out a tract. Father, you saw the hands tonight of those struggling in their thought life. Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace to bring into every captivity, every thought, make it obedient to you. I pray, Lord, that they would recognize the thoughts that come from you and the thoughts that come from their enemy. I pray, Lord, that you would do the miraculous tonight, that you would take those that are in a rut, their thought life is in a rut, and that you would, Lord, get them out of that rut tonight, supernaturally. Set their feet upon the rock. Lord, get them out of the miry clay and set their feet upon the rock to stay. Give them victory in their thoughts. And Lord, actually go beyond that, transform their thoughts. Transform their mind, renew their minds this evening, that they may be able to do that good and perfect will of God. Lord, that they would be able to do incredible things for you. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For to be carnally minded is death, but we are spiritually minded, and so we have life and peace. And we thank you for that, and we pray it on behalf of each one gathered here this evening. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing that song that Gail was playing. I stand in awe of you. These altars are open tonight if you would like to spend some time up here. Maybe you need to spend some time confessing. You were in the wrong place. You were watching the wrong thing. You were reading the wrong material, and that's why your thoughts are not where they should be. These altars are open if you want to do any confessing tonight, or maybe you just want to come and you want to think about God. Think about the Lord. Maybe you want to come tonight with your Bible open and think about the scriptures and feed on his word and let the Lord speak to you through the scriptures tonight, through his word. These altars are open if you'd like to do that. You come as we sing this chorus.
Nothing ever seen or heard.
You know that chorus, Turn My Eyes Upon Jesus. There is a second verse that talks about turning your thoughts on Jesus, and I have not been able to find it. If anybody ever comes across that, would you please let me know? Because that's what we really want to do. We want to turn our thoughts toward Him, too, and let Him control our thought patterns and our thought life. I know there's a great struggle in this area for a lot of people. Pray that you'll surrender, and I pray that you get the victory. God will be the victor of your thoughts. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed this evening. If you'd like to stay and pray, you may do so. Otherwise, you're dismissed.